here. I want to try my best to try to get something finished tonight. I feel like I leave a lot of things dangling. You ever feel like that around the house? Maybe you got so many things going, you leave some things dangling and things ain't finished. And we was talking this afternoon. Do pray for our daughter. She's in the hospital tonight. That's why we got the two boys with us. She's about 7 months along now, and she fell this morning. And if they got her there, I believe everything's going to be up. My wife assures me everything's going to be all right because she knows how I worry. But she assures me she's going to be all right. And then they got her in, under observation. So I do desire you pray for her. You never know what's going to happen, what a day's going to bring forth. And we was talking about, your mind races ahead when you get news about you have to plan for so many different things. And I said, well, on what we do, if we got to bring the boys home tonight, what are we going to do? And she said, well, that bed, I can't even find that bed. As we've been working on these floors and doing different things, and we got all the whatnots piled up on the bed where the spare bedroom is. So we got a special lined up for them. I've got two of them little dog crates. I'm just going to put them in there and set them outside. Set them outside in the yard, and then they'll be there in the morning when I come back. See, they'll believe us. They don't care. They don't care what to do with them. Amen. So, amen. But I appreciate you being here tonight. I want you to look. I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to Acts chapter number 7 with me. Acts chapter number 7. And I've tried to get this thing lined out. So hopefully I can get it finished out tonight. If the Lord willing, let us do that on this thought of He gave them up. And the first step down, I think I've shot in that hole right much here lately, is when we're hard-headed. I think a person can get so hard-headed and so obstinate and so just dead set on going just the opposite of what the Word of God says, there comes a time when God says, okay, I'll let you do it your way. Why don't you try it your way for a while and see how it works? Maybe as a parent, you've told a child that before. I have. Well, go ahead and try it. Let's see how it works out your way. And Rebecca, my middle girl, she dead set there. I believe it was Rebecca. She the one that's dead set on going run away from home that time. And always told us, she said, I'm going to go to Nashville and be a big country music star, and y'all ain't never see me again. And as I ever get out of this place, I'm gone with the wind. And she started talking that junk when she was about 11 or 12 years old. And I told her, I did like Andy Griffith told Opie that time. I started naming off things she'd want to carry with her. You ought to get you a blanket. It's going to get cold outside, and you might want your raincoat. And you ought to tear your extra pair of shoes now because your feet get wet, you know. And when you get out there, you can worry about all that getting dressed up pretty when you get out there. But when you leave here, you need to have... Well, I wasn't talking about leaving. Yeah, you are. You said you're going to go. There's the door right there. Ain't nobody standing between you and the door. Get out. You say, you're mean. I'm mean, ain't I? Ain't I mean? I'm mean, ain't I? I'm mean, ain't I? See, if I figure if I can't make it preaching, I'd always run one in boot camp places. But anyway, sometimes you just got to say, okay, well, there, go ahead. And I think God does that sometimes in the believer's life. Now, I'm not talking about a lost person. I want to try to bring that thought home tonight. In Psalms 81, God is not talking to lost people. God cannot give up something that He does not yet have. You don't get that now? Because my Bible tells me that we're in the palm of His hand and we're secure in His hand and we can't get lost again if we want to get lost. And if I'm there and I'm His, then He claims me as His own. Then He, and then only then does He have the authority to say, okay, I'm going to let you have your way now. Now, He won't say that to a lost person because a lost person's already doing it their way. Is that right? But that's what He said in Psalms 81. He said, they're hard-headed, they're stiff-necked, they want none of me. He said, they don't want nothing to do with me. There's come a time when God says, okay, have tried your way for a while. Let me know how that works out for you. I think about Cynthia. I think Cynthia was a little bit hard-headed there for a while. And Cynthia had this thing about slamming doors. I never have understood the concept behind. My mama never slammed doors. I don't slam doors. Still don't slam doors this day. I might slam a car door or a truck door every now and then, but I don't slam no door in the house. I ain't up for no slamming no house doors. And I come home one day, and there wasn't no door over Cynthia's room. Door was gone. I mean, the door was gone. Y'all think I mean. The door was gone. She said, I'll break her from slamming that door. She took the door off. Come home another time. Wasn't nothing there but a mattress on the floor. I said, Guantanamo Bay hadn't even been discovered yet. Hey, my wife said she won't clean up her toes. She won't do right. I'll teach her. She's going to have to earn every one of them back. And she did. She went through. And I was talking to somebody the other day about, I forget who it was the other day, I was talking to somebody about cleaning up. Said, how'd you go about cleaning up? I said, I used to take a shop back. I tell you, you got 5 minutes to get all this mess up off the floor. If it ain't, I'm getting up and shop back. And I get that. I went in crashing. That thing had a snoot on it about that big, man. I was like the guy that sucks up leaves on the side of the street. Sucked it all up, man. Barbie doll shoes. Everything. If it's on the floor, after 5 minutes, it's gone. Up there it goes. What I was telling him is, you want to do it your way. We'll try it your way and see how it works. See how you like it after a while. My wife said, honey, them toys are expensive. I said, it's a free country. They can go out there and dig through the shop back and get it all out if they want it. And they did. They did. Amen. Now, y'all wonder why. Now, Brian, now you get a little insight on why Laura's the meanest she is. She was abused as a child. She can't help it, son. Hey, I'm telling you, sometimes if you really love your youngin', son, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day when you're going to say, look, I don't know what else to do with you. Try it your way and see how it works out. And have we not all done? We've all done it. You might sit there and be all angelic. Your little halo's a little crooked. Your halo needs to be polished a little bit. I know. Would you? Hey, y'all a bunch of rednecks just like I am. I know. That's the only way we know, ain't it? That's the only way I know. I was a whole lot easier on my youngins than my mama was on me. Am I not right about that? I mean, I didn't know I was abused till I got to working at the sheriff's office and I found out why I was so twisted and demented. Now, God don't abuse us. He loves us. My mama loved me with an everlasting love, but not the kind of love God has for me. But my mama loved me enough to say, we're going to break him. We're going to break him, and then we're going to make him into what we want him to be. Now, you say, well, you've told us something about Rebecca. You've told us something about Cynthia. Now, tell one on Laura. I don't have one to tell on Laura. She's seen enough happen to them two. The Bible says, rebuke openly that all may fear. Amen? Amen. Now, look, there's a next step that leads. I said all three of these steps are leading away from God, not to God. You got that? You got to understand, what's that first step? Hard-headedness, stiff-necked. When you say, I don't want nothing to do with the house of God. I don't want nothing to do with the man of God. Don't want nothing to do with the word of God. By the way, I'm not putting myself on a level with God, but I am God's man. Amen. So I don't want to have nothing to do with God's man. I don't want to have nothing to do with that church down there. What you're doing is you took a step away from God. Because everything that goes on around here is trying to draw you closer to God, not trying to shove you away from God. Amen. You say, I don't know, you're pretty rough this morning. You drove people away. You make a bad impression on people. No, I don't believe I made a bad impression on nobody this morning, because what I done it in love, and I didn't do it spitefully, and didn't do it in a mean way. Now, sometimes I come across mean, but I ain't mean. I'm a big teddy bear, really. Oh, some of y'all don't believe that, but that's all right. Amen? But the next step that leads away from God is where I want to get to tonight. Look in Acts 7. Look in verse 37 with me. We see here, it said, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount of Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods, little g, to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Rephim figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon." So we see the next step away from God is when you start mixing religious practices together. When you start taking one thing and mixing it in with something else, that's when you're walking away from God. And as you begin to walk away from God, God will say to you, if you want to do it your way, you do it your way. Now, you are constantly walking away from God, correct? Now, I believe you only get to this step after you go down that first step, which is hard-headedness. When you've already proven you don't want nothing to do with God, the big G, the Jehovah God, you've already proved that to God. In other words, you've already told Him, I don't really love you. So what you do, when you do that, you've already started well on your way to the second step, which is you try to find something to replace that worship that you had before and make it into something that it is not. Now, let me try to bring this verse out here so it makes a little more sense. In Exodus 34 and 14, we don't need to turn over there. I just want to share something with you. Exodus 34 and 14, it says, "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, He is a jealous God." You believe tonight that God's a jealous God? The Word of God even says, He even says of Himself, "I am a jealous God." Now, I'm jealous over that little woman right there. Hey, man, I am. I'm jealous over this church. And I better not be messing around with y'all. I'm jealous over this crowd right here now. And God says, "I'm a jealous God." He said, "You're not going to put another God on a level with me, in between me and you. You're not going to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, mix it all together and say, this is my new brand of worship right here. You're not going to do it." He won't stand for it. Now, we see God not going to be pushed aside, nor will He be replaced by any idol or any deity, or can I say any person. There's been far too many families that have got out of church because they literally begin to worship their children. I've seen it happen too many times. You have too. And hey, people worship their youngins. I've seen people get out of church because they worship their parents. I love my parents. I did. I still do. The only ones I ever have. And we made a vow we was going to take care of them as best we could. It's the same thing with Diane's mom and dad. But I wasn't going to let them keep me out of church. Hey, man, I mean, you can love your parents and not let them. You can love them and still not put them before you and God. You surely can't put them in the place of God. That's a poor trade-in right there. Now, I'm going to tell you. They love you, but they can't love you like God loves you, right? Now, Amos 5 and 25, if you want to make your little note out there, maybe in the edge of your Bible right there, that's where this verse number 42 here says, is not written in the book of the prophets. Amos 5 and 25 says, "Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel?" Now God asked a question. Now we know the answer to that question. They did offer sacrifices to God. Surely they did. In the space of 40 years in the wilderness, did they not offer sacrifices to God? The problem was this. They was offering sacrifices, but they still had their idols that they worshipped on the side. In other words, they had a little something going on in the closet. They had a little something going on in the back room. And I said, God's a jealous God, right? Yep. Come on now, y'all liven up a little bit tonight. I ain't going to yell at nobody tonight unless you give me a good cause to. And these two up here belong to me, and I'll take care of them. Don't you worry about them. You don't think I'd holler at somebody else's young and not take care of my grand youngest too, did you? Now, I ain't no hypocrite. I might be many things, but you'll never call John Fawcett a hypocrite and be right about it. And you'll never say John Fawcett don't care about me. There's people who's left this church that's told it all over the county that I don't care about people and I'm mean and I'm just downright mean and ornery and hateful. But they're lying. If your parents never correct you, they don't really love you. If you don't really, if you never correct your youngins, you don't love your youngins. Now I got some Bible on that now. You ought to wanna be as close to God as you can get. Am I right about that? Now God said, look, he asked a question here. He said, did you not offer sacrifices to me? The answer is certainly they did. But God said, I don't want to have to share my time with nobody else. Right? And my wife wants me to come home to her at the end of the day. Hey man, I mean we old. I mean we've been married 35 years. We old. But we still want to be together. And if I told her, I said, well, you know, I don't know, baby. I mean, I got somewhere else I need to be tonight. What do you mean you got some? What are you talking about? That's serious business now. Now, she ain't gonna take that laying down. She ain't gonna just say, oh, that's all right with me, honey. Whatever you say, you God's man. You do what you want to. It'll be all right. Oh, no, I don't think so. You know why? Because she's jealous. Because she's mine. It's the same way with God. He's mine. I'm His. I shouldn't be running around on Him. I shouldn't be cheating on Him. But what the children of Israel were doing in the wilderness days is real simple. They had this little idols that they was carrying around with them. And this is where it says here in verse number 43 of Acts 7. I'm really going somewhere. It says, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch. Now, that's a portable little tent temple that they made for their God with a little G. Now, they hid it amongst their stuff. In other words, they carried it with them from place to place. When Moses and Aaron and the crowds busy setting up the temple, the wet tabernacle in the wilderness where God, Jehovah God, was going to meet with them, they were somewhere off in the distance, somewhere back in a dark shadow somewhere. They setting up their little tabernacle back there. They setting up their little tent back there and trying to get their little God all jacked up in there so they could have their little worship on the side. Now, is that not about what's happening in America today? There's people that was in the house of God this morning somewhere shouting out the victory and talking about how good God was. And yet, where are they tonight in the houses of God all across America that's preaching the Word of God? They got their little idol out of the closet down at the jet ski, down at the lake, or they got their little idol out of the golf, out of the closet and playing golf, or they got their little idol out at the racetrack. Hey, there's a lot of little idols in America today. And you know what God says? He said, that used to be my day. Sunday used to be my day. Now, the only time God can get a lot of people on Sunday is when there ain't nothing else going on. Now, listen, let me tell you about this thing here, old Moloch here for a minute. I probably ain't saying that right, but it's all right. Moloch was an Ammonite idol to whom children were sacrificed. Are you with me so far? According to rabbinical tradition or the teaching of the rabbis, his image was hollow and it was heated from below. It had the head of an ox with the outstretched arms of a man into which children were laid and their cries being stifled by the beating of drums while they're literally burned to death. Now, Brother James, I got a question for you. You wake up on Sunday morning, you got to make a decision. Now, I can go down yonder where the house of God is, where Jehovah God's worshipped. I can go down yonder where and watch them set some young'uns on fire. Now, which one I see? Let me think about this thing. Boy, they got some pretty good music down over yonder. And I tell you what, they got some boy they can beat on them drums down there. And all they do is the same old stuff down yonder at that other place. I mean, it's always the Bible. It's always the Bible. It's always, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? I just don't know. I don't know what kind of decision I can make. That won't be no hard decision until they ask for your grandbaby. Right. Now all of a sudden it's going to get dangerous now. See, all the Jehovah God wants for your grandbaby is for them to give their life to His Son. I mean, that's all Jehovah God wants is you. And if you can't give Him you, what else are you going to give Him? You ain't got nothing else. I mean, surely you can't say, well, I got $1 million. I'm going to give it to the church. Where's it at? Let's see it right now. Bring it in. Let's see. I want to see it. I don't have enough faith. Let's clear this table off here. Pile it up right here. I want to see it. We'll get somebody to count it and see how it, all the math works out. You don't have that? You say, well, I got a bunch of CDs in the bank, and when them things come due, I'm going to give them to the church. No, you don't. You're a lie. You had some retirement nests that all dwindled away, just like mine is. You know what God wants? God wants the one thing you really got to give, and that's you. That's all He wants. Now, these people had a decision to make. They said, well, and no doubt, hey, it's just like it is today. They said, boy, I tell you what, that crowd back there in the back of the line that is worshiping that Moloch God, I tell you what, they're getting more and more switching over all the time. Boy, them people used to go down there to the tabernacle with us and stand outside and want to hear something from Moses. And now, he said, every time we turn around, there's a family missing here. There's a family missing there. And he said, you know, I heard they got a place down there. They worship the stars they worship down there. Why would you want to worship the stars when you can worship the one who made the stars? I mean, why would you even think such a thing? It says, this thing right here, Rephim, it says there in verse number 43, it says, and the star of your God, Rephim, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Hey, the text vary between Rephim, and Ramphon. It is supposed to be the Coptic name for Saturn, to which the Arabs, the Egyptians, and the Phoenicians paid divine honors. Now, I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to get you to a place where you can see the thought right here. It's what's permeating our society today. But verse 43 says, you took up. Now listen to me. This right here, and I studied this thing pretty in depth, best as I could. I ain't real smart, but I do know how to read. And I like books with a lot of pictures in them, but I do know how to read. But y'all could laugh right there. It's okay. Let's laugh. That's good. Thank you. Now, that was a courtesy laugh if it ever was one. He says in verse 43, you took up. Now, God said in His Word, He said somewhere along the line, you seem as though you lost interest in Me. I was no longer enough. And then you took up these strange habits that you've got now. Now, isn't that so? How many of us have family members? Used to be in church. Used to be a day. Diane's family, we said many times about her mother. There was a few blessings that come along with that disease. One was she never really understood that her family, every one of them, had quit serving God except for my wife. As far as she knew, everybody's still in church. Probably still thought y'all was all still in church together in Burlington. I don't know, but anyway, she never really fully understood that nobody went to church, nobody did anything for God, nobody seemed to care about God except for my wife. She never understood that. But see, in her day, when she got saved, she didn't know it was nothing to do but, man, God saved me. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to give Him everything I got. For whatever it costs me, at the cost, I don't care. He's mine, He's mine, He's mine. Hey, it's a wonderful story. I'm going to tell a little bit of it. I don't know it all, but I'll tell a little bit of it. Diane's mother, if she had had all her children, how many had been about a dozen of y'all, wouldn't it? Been 9 youngins if she'd have successfully carried them all. You had a little brother named Stephen, right? Stephen died. The infant, right? A few weeks. 12 days old he died. And Diane's mother went into a state of depression. Naturally, it's understandable, isn't it? Well, the fella moved in right next door. And was going to start a church in his house. Now, all Diane's daddy ever knew about church, and a lot of people say, well, I'm this or I'm that, and they really ain't nothing. That's just what their family was. Right. Diane's daddy, all he ever knew was, I'm a Catholic. He ain't never been no Catholic. It's just what his family was. That's what they told him he was. And I think he's only Catholic because they helped him pay some bills every now and then. Who knows? I don't know. But anyway, he said, There's a fellow starting a church right next door. I met him. I've talked to him in the yard. He seems like a really nice guy. Maybe you ought to talk to him. He might be able to help you. Oh, that was bad. That was Deacon. She got over there and she heard a clear presentation of the gospel message. And she accepted Christ. And she went wild for God. She went Jesus crazy. She thought everybody ought to get saved. She thought everybody ought to get saved. She thought her youngins ought to be in church. She thought she'd dress up them babies and drag them to church. And Diane's daddy bought a brand new Cadillac that year. A Cadillac convertible. And he parked that thing. You can imagine Long Island, New York, the houses probably wasn't no farther apart. Just wide enough to pull a car between them probably. Right?
Well,
no.
Different place.
Anyway, let me finish my story. I'm preaching evangelistically right now. He parked his car right outside the church, turned the radio wide open, and waxed his car while they was in there trying to have church. Now, that is right, ain't it? Might have been a different place. Same. Okay, there you go. So he'd park that car. He did everything he could to disrupt the service. He wanted her to get some help, but he didn't want her to go crazy. Anyway, God got a hold of his heart. He got saved. That's why we're here today. Amen? It's got a whole lot to do with why we're here today. I'm telling you, when God does something for you, you'll remember you want to do something for God. Amen. Hey, he got sold out to God. He went Jesus crazy. Hey, I come in the house one day and I got right with God and he said, look at him. He's got that silly Jesus grin on his face. He's done gone Jesus crazy. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm Jesus crazy. Amen. But we see right here, hey, it says that probably this happened not long after the golden calf episode. Now, remember that? Moses up on the Mount Sinai, he's talking to God. He's getting the Ten Commandments. Man, he's up there doing business with God. He's up there dying, we'll say, at a 40-day camp meeting. He's up there with God. He's having camp meeting. He's getting everything he's got to get. He's getting strong. He's getting all full of God. And then he comes down. He's got them Ten Commandments. He's got them two stone tablets. And God gets done talking to him, Brother James. And God says, you better get back down there. He said, something's going on in the camp. Now, you got this man Moses, he's fired up. He's been in camp meeting with God 40 days. Man, he's done seen into the other side and seen how good God is. He's got the rules to live by right here on two stone tablets written by the finger of God. Amen. Hey, I like it. And then he comes down and he says, he's thinking to himself, he's hearing it's getting louder and louder and louder. And it's like, boom, ba-da, boom, ba-da, boom, ba-da, boom, 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 boom. And he's getting louder and louder. And he said it sounds like a war. And he said, no, that ain't the sound of a battle. He said, there's a party going on. He gets down there and the first thing he sees is a golden calf. And he has a John moment. I ain't going to throw them down because they really might break and that'd be bad. But he threw them tablets down and broke them. He pushed him to the edge. Amen. Ain't that what happened? Now, look here. Now, all this other stuff after that happened. Now, here's the sister, Pastor Aaron. He's the one that said, you know, he said, well, we took off our earrings and stuff and they threw them in the fire and the calf jumped out, which is a stinking lie. He made the thing. But then Moses never mentioned this. What we're talking about, Moloch, he never mentioned that. So must have been doing it, honey, behind Moses' back. I wonder what we do behind a man of God's back he don't know nothing about. Some things I'm glad I don't know nothing about them. Now, but they said this was a shrine, a small portable chapel, in which they hid the image of their God, little G God. Moloch was the planet Mars, which was worshipped under a human shape. Rephaim, Saturn, represented by a star. But then God said this. He said, you've done all this. And he said, I'm going to carry you beyond Babylon. Listen, I'm going somewhere. He said, I'm going to carry you beyond Babylon. That is beyond Damascus. Hey, now I'll tell you what. When you get away from the Father, you get away from God, harder it is to get back in. Now remember that first step's hard-headedness. That second step's when we start blending and mixing our worship together. You say, well, I can go down yonder to the Presbyterian church this week, and I'll go over there to the Baptist church next week, and I'll go to Methodist church next week. I just want to check them all out, you know. Ain't no need to check them out. This ain't a restaurant. I mean, you ain't trying to figure out who's got the best burger in town. Amen. You go somewhere and you hear the Word of God preached and the man of God loves you and he's got a little bit of fire in him. You ought to stick and say, I like this pretty good. I'm going to stay with this until he proves himself to be something that he ain't. I've had people tell me before, you know, we kept hanging around trying to find something wrong. We ain't found nothing wrong. You know, I tell you what, I'm trying my best to be right. Amen. I'm not very smart, but I do know that I want to be as close to God as I can get. And we ain't going to allow no false idols to come in here if we can help it. Amen? Hey, it says they traded it. Now listen to this. They traded in the God of all gods. The God that steals storms and parts seas. The God that could feed them and fill them with water force from a stone. And then they traded that in for a stone cold idol that acolytes to sacrifice their own children to. And I tell you tonight, folks, there's no substitute for Jehovah God. You can forget about it. There's no substitute for Jehovah God, but they cheated God out of His rightful glory. Amen. You say, hey, well, hey, man, it must be pretty hard to mix and mingle religion in your life. Have you placed anything between you and God? It could be most anything. Hey, if you're not careful, you could have some signs of witchcraft in your home and you don't even know it. Amen. You could have little idols in your yard and you don't even know it. Man, I mean, I say, well, it's pretty, it's art. Well, whatever. You better be careful about what you got propped around in your yard. God won't tolerate any types of idols. Yard art, whatever. You got old Buddha in the backyard, you ought to go home and take an axe and bust him up. Amen. My wife loves good, original. Can't afford to buy much of it. She loves good, original, handmade Native American pottery. She always has. It's been one of her favorite things. If there's one thing that I can say that my wife collects, it's good, not made in China stuff, original, handmade Native American pottery. But you still have to be careful what you pick up. Now, hey, Miss Bernie, they're my people too. But I'm going to tell you, There's a lot of stuff there we got to watch out for with it. That's what Brother Gary Locklear told me. He said every time I go out west, he said they ostracize me. They said you got the white man's religion. You're going against your heritage. You got the white man's religion. And there's a lot of things that we have to be real careful about what we pick up, because you'll get something and you'll say, you know, well, it's pretty. I like the way it looks, but you better be careful what it symbolizes. And it's the same way with anything in your life. Amen. Hey, you got to be careful about this stuff. You say, well, but I don't worship it yet. But you may cause a weaker brother to stumble. Amen. Hey, there used to be a family come here. They come here for a little while. And they didn't like it here. After they was here for a little while and found out what it's all about, they didn't like it. I'm not being mean. It's just the truth. You know, you come here for a while, you either like it, you either love it or you hate it. One or the other. I mean, there ain't really no hardly no in between. But she had us out of the house one time, and she had a room that was nothing, wall to wall, on the ceiling, everywhere, angels. Everywhere, angels. Now, I'm not going to get into preaching about angels tonight, but if you've seen a scriptural angel, it'd scare you to death. They don't, nowhere in the Bible do I see that they're females. Nowhere in the Bible do I see that they're blonde-haired, blue-eyed, beautiful. Nowhere do I see they speak with an Irish accent like on TV. Amen right there. Hey, nowhere do I see any of that. But she had all these angels. I said, this is interesting. I didn't know nothing else to say. I wasn't going to say this is nice because I don't think it's nice. Because you can actually worship angels. There's people in the Bible that tried to worship angels. You've got to be careful about that kind of stuff. You say, well, God created angels. Surely He wouldn't mind. God created dogs and cows and cats and horses and... How many people do we know that worship them? Oh, well, moving along. Look at what happened. Let's look in Exodus. Exodus, I don't know why I put that in there. What does that mean? What does that mean, Diane? I mean, you write all these messages out, don't you? I'm just joking. Exodus 32. I want us to see this. I might not get done tonight after all. I believe this is really important stuff, don't you? You've got somebody that you know, either a co-worker in your family. They've already gone past that first step of stiff neck, hard headed, instead of wanting nothing to do with God, and they're already on this step here right now. They're on the second step, getting away from God. The farther you get away, the harder it is to come back, right? Well, that first step's hard enough to turn around because you've got to swallow your pride and say, I was wrong. Now you've got to say, not only was I wrong because I was hard-headed and I said I want none of God, now I've got something else that I've replaced God with that I've got to get rid of and get God back in His rightful place. And this is getting hard right now. Now look right here in Exodus 32. It says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know we want not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off your golden earrings, which are in your ears, of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. He received them at their hand, fashioned it with a graven tool, and after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now why? What's the Lord got to do with that? The Lord ain't got nothing to do with that, does it? And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Oh well, amen. Look at what happened. They became impatient. Moses is meeting with God. Moses is doing business with God. Moses already told them. I believe that's what this reference is. I wrote down, my goodness, sometimes it's like this. It's just like this sometimes. When y'all get old, you'll understand. It's all okay. It's okay. I was right, Diane. Exodus 19:12. Now Moses done told them about this mount. Mount Sinai, he's done warned them about it. Now look right here. It says, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be a beast or a man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. He said, stay away. He said, God, me and God's got to take care of some business. Stay away. What do they do? Here they are today at the foot of the mountain. They must be pretty close proximity. Because Moses heard them all the way down. Now, they must be pretty close, right? And they're doing their little thing right there. And Aaron says, he said, tomorrow, said, we're going to have a feast unto the Lord. Hey, all they had to do was wait on God. They got tired of waiting. We're just as able to do this as Moses. That's what they said. We don't need Moses. Don't even know where Moses went off to. Where's old brother John at? He's been up yonder in Taylorville 2 weeks. I don't know if he's ever going to come back. I come back. I'm back. And do what? Are you glad? I thought Vicky said we're sad there for a second. That's why I want to make sure about that. She's been giving me a hard time today. She has proved herself to be the mean one today, Miss Faith. Hey, they said we can do this just as good as Moses can. Said, we'll build us a God. We don't need to wait on Moses. We'll build us a God. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is wait on God. But I found out that waiting on God's a thing to do. Amen. If your man of God says he's waiting on God, he's led you right so far, I think you ought to stick it out and just wait on God. You may not have a place in the program. You may never have it your way. But you can support the man of God and the house of God. Hey, I wouldn't trade in my convictions for a truth. And the truth I have for a lie, would you? Hey, I've said it before. If your God ain't big enough to get you back to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night or revival night, I believe I'd trade him in and get me another one. It's the truth, isn't it? I mean, hey, he said, well, preacher, I've had people tell me, can I get sold out like you? Or it's simple. Just say, I'm going to put God first. My youngins ain't going to be first. My wife ain't going to be first. God's going to be first. You know, even y'all ain't going to be first. God's going to be first. I've had pastors, I hadn't had nobody lately tell me this, but I've had pastors say, man, I'd be scared to death to be out of my church on a Sunday morning. Well, I ain't scared of y'all. I mean, if the devil can get y'all out with me being gone one Sunday, I ain't keeping you here no way. I mean, you're here for the wrong reason. If you're here just because I'm here, you're here for the wrong reason anyways. I know I'm dynamic and all that. I didn't tell you to laugh right there, Angie. Hey, I tell you what, God's good to us. Ain't God good to us? The second step away from God's when we mix our worship, and we mix our worship, we practice idolatry. Right around, remember that. Next thing, the third step away, I'm trying to get done. Romans 1:21. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 21. Now, let me recap real quickly just one little thought right here. Hey, over there in Psalms 81, God said, my people said they would have none of me. God said, so I let them go. I gave them up. Who did he give up? His people, correct? Right? Now, the second step we looked at is when you mix your worship. If you're worshiping God to begin with, then you must be one of His. The children of Israel were God's chosen people. I know the vast majority of Jews in America and in the world today, even in Israel, have never accepted Christ as a Messiah. They'll have an opportunity during the tribulation period, and I ain't got time to get into all that. They'll have an opportunity that we as Gentiles won't have. You better get that in your mind right now. You say, well, I hear about this Jesus. I know about salvation, but I'm going to put it off. I believe I can get saved like Tim LaHaye said in that movie. You hold out. You check out Tim LaHaye and see how it's working out for him. Because I don't anybody to teach that kind of wrong doctrine. I don't even believe they're saved. Now, look here. Now, that brings us to the third step away. Romans 1:21. The third step that leads away from God. Romans 1:21. Because that, when they knew God, oh, here we go, they knew God. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to an uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, boy, that was a lot to swallow up. The third step that leads away from God, that will allow God or force God to give up on you, is when we reject God and refuse to believe and accept who God is and what God has done. That is right, ain't it? It said, man began to worship created beings more than the God that created them. Look back in verse 21. Because that when they knew God. Now I'm going to tell you something that I have never seen till I studied this. You can disagree with me? Fine. You study it out and tell me what God tells you about it. It said right there in verse 21 that said, when they knew God. Now look, verse 24 again, wherefore God also gave them up. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now there's, how many did I say, three separate times in one context when God says, I'm having to give you up. Now, it's interesting to me, and y'all may be greater Bible scholars than I am. I've never seen this before. We always talk about these reprobates. We always talk about, well, boy, only lost people will do that kind of stuff. That's not what the Bible just said, did it? It said, when they knew God. Say, preacher, are you trying to say that people that are saved will worship creatures and beings more than God? What did God's Word say? He said, there will come a time. We're living in that day right now. We're seeing that in America today right here. They reject God and everything about God. But yet they worship God's creation. They'll travel great distances to save a squirrel or a turtle or an owl. And the list goes on and on. It's just like the reference in Amos. They worship the sun, the moon, the stars. That's where we are right now. Amen. Verse 24, God gives them up to the lust of the flesh. Verse 25, I'm going to bring all this to a close in a minute. Verse 25, they change the Word of God. We're surely seeing that today, aren't we? Verse 26, they turned over the vile affections, that's sodomy and lesbianism. In verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate or a useless mind. Have you ever seen a person who once served God? Maybe at one time they were a great soul winner, and now they are not doing absolutely nothing for God. And they're living for the devil just as wide open as they can go. I believe with all of my heart, based on the Scriptures that I've just read, that there can come a time when a person can walk so far away from... I'm not talking about just being a little backslid. I'm talking about they have walked so far away from God. God says, okay, you're hard-headed, you're stubborn. I'm going to give you... You try it your way for a while now and see how it works out for you. And then they take that next step down and they start blending and mixing their worship together. And they say, you know, I tell you what, man, I used to be sold out on this thing about God. But I tell you what, hey, these Buddhist people, they're about right too. You know, these Hare Krishna people, they're about right too. You know, that's that crowd that says, I believe if you're just sincere, you'll be all right. Hey, the Bible tells me you'll be sincerely wrong. You'll wake up and sincerely hell's what you'll do. Hey, if you believe that now, if you believe it, you just got to be sincere. But I believe there's some saved folks that get tangled up in that mess. Now, is that not right? Y'all agree with me, don't you? I believe they do. And then they get down there and they just say, well, I tell you what, man, I tell you what, I don't need to go to church no more. I can go out here and worship God at the lake. And man, look at this beautiful creation. I saw an eagle at Jordan Lake. And look at this turtle. Look at this snake, how he swims in the water. I read something in the Bible one time about a snake, how he moves. And isn't it wonderful, God's creation? And God said, that makes me sick. You've replaced me. I'm going to give you up even farther. And then they give you up to the lust of the flesh. That means anything goes. Do whatever you want to. Anything goes. You say, do you think God allows that to happen? I think you can get so far away from God. God says, all right, go ahead, help yourself. And then you get in it. You say, well, that's that stuff I'd never do. That next stuff I'd never do. That don't say what you'd never do. Because you can get so far away from God, God says, look, do it your way. There comes a time, Brother James, I believe, when God says, I tell you what, you've gone so far away and I've tried my best to woo you and draw you back. I'm going to give you a reprobate or a useless mind. And for some people, that is just out and out, full-blown mental illness. I've seen it. I've seen it. They can't even put their clothes on by themselves. And then there's other times when it's just they just talk so crazy, nobody pays no attention to them no more. Now, I've seen people that I know by their testimony that they're saved, but I've seen them get so far away from God. I know a man right now, dying, just flashed. God just let it flash to my mind. You know who I'm talking about. He's gone so far now. If you talk to him about God, he said, I'm doing a whole lot better now without God. I'm doing a whole lot better now without God. But I've heard the man's testimony. I believe the man's saved. He's the very reason I'm in Independent Baptist Church today. Because he kept after me and after me and after me to come to his church. But now I think about his life now. He has a reprobate mind. I mean, he won't even take care of his mama like he ought to. Hey, listen to me now. You can get that far away. You say, I don't believe I can get that far away, preacher. I sure would hate to tell you, but you can. Father, you get away from God, the worse you get. Remember, the whole downward walk started with hard-headedness. Then it moved to blended worship. Finally, it seems like man's abandoned all knowledge and all desire of God, and they get to this place where they usually never return from. Hey, when you get to a place where God gives you a reprobate mind, you ain't coming back. You may sit on your porch, and you may stare off in the distance and think about the times when you served God, but you'll no longer have a desire to even darken the driveway of the church house, much less go in the door. You may have enough recollection to tell people about. And I tell you what, I used to go down there to church. I know a guy right now. He's sung in every church around here. He said God give him a ministry of singing. I say, phooey on that. God don't give you no ministry of singing. I said, and I asked him all the time, what church are you a member of now? Because he's been around so much, he had to carry his church letter around his shirt pocket. And, well, I'm not anywhere. I just think I'd be a blessing to a lot of different churches. I said, I think you need to get right with God, man. You ought to settle down and serve God and want to serve. He's the one who wants to get paid for playing the piano. Amen? Say words. Words you never want to hear. He gave them up. But it'd be sad today if God spoke to your heart and said, I'm giving up on you. I'm giving up on you. I've tried. I've done all I know to do. But I'm giving up on you. You ought to keep you thinking right. Don't be full of pride. Don't be hard-headed. Keep your worship right. Stay straight. Don't mix in anything that ain't pure. Keep your worship on the Creator, not the creature. Amen. I told a man one time, it's one of the pitfalls, and I believe in visiting folks, and I do it, and I don't do it as much as I should, I know, but I do what I feel led to do when I feel led to go. We used to have visitation every Thursday night. Got to where it's just me going out. But you know, it got to where you're going to go see the same person every week. That's the craziest thing in the world. It didn't make no sense at all. And that fellow would stay home on Thursday night because he knew I was coming. And if I missed a Thursday night, the next Thursday, man, I'll have waited for you last Thursday, but you never did come. And I got ready to go that one night, and I said, this fellow said, where are we going to go? I said, we're going to go over here and see this fellow. I said, but we ain't going to go see him no more after tonight. And I walked in that man's house, and I had perfect liberty to say it, and I didn't say it in a mean way. I said it with love. I said, Steve, with all love in my heart. I said, I may see you in Walmart, or I may see you down at the hardware store, or I may see you at Lowe's. I may even bump into you where you work at Duke University. I said, but I'll never come to your home again. Why is that, preacher? Why is that? I said, I'm giving up on you. I said, I've come for the last 6 months just about every week and begged you to come to church, and you won't come to church. And I said, I really don't see any need to keep coming. I know he went to church with his mother before she died. I don't know if he's in church now or not. He's not in church now. You see, he had mama's religion. He went to please mama. You know, it's sad. But I believe the boy was saved. But I believe you can get so far away from God That's not a skunk crawling around the church. That's my grandson snoring, in case y'all was wondering. But he got that from his grandpa, I reckon. It's miniature chainsaw man. That's weed eater man, I guess. They call me the chainsaw man, the way I snore. I don't snore as bad as Angie does, I don't think. But anyway, hey, this thing about when God gives up on you, isn't it sad? Isn't it really sad? You say, preacher, I don't believe God will give up on people. You need to read your Bible. I've given you three services on proving to you from the Word of God that you can get to a place where God gives up on you. And that's sad to think about, isn't it? When you get to that place where He said, what did He say? He said, I turned them over to a reprobate mind. That word reprobate means useless. That, and like I said, that could come through mental illness, or it could just come through you ever talk to somebody and said, man, they ain't making no sense at all? Be careful, they might have a reprobate mind. Amen. Well, this old fellow used to walk around West End, Brother James, all the time with the big, he carried a big family Bible around and carried a big commentary around with him all the time. One of the Bateman boys. The one that boxed, the one that used to box. You see him coming, you want to get away from him. Because he wasn't right. And I believe it, and he probably got a reprobate mind, I don't know. Because you know he got so far away from God there one time. You can do that. You can do that. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad?